The Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to your prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you on this wanting to be snowy morning. It's chilly out there, folks. For those of you who are visiting with us here this morning, welcome. We are glad to have you with us. In 1979, the British comedy group Monty Python made a movie called Life of Brian, a silly story supposedly occurring simultaneously with the life of Jesus. In the film, there's a scene when the protagonist, Brian, finds himself with the crowds at the foot of the mount while Jesus is delivering the sermon. Straining to hear, one character asks, and forgive me, but the accent is important, "What's he saying?" Another responds, "I think he said, 'Blessed are the cheesemakers.'" A nearby woman scoffs, saying, "What's so special about them?" And her husband, presumably, responds condescendingly, "Well, obviously, it's not meant to be taken literally. Probably refers to any manufacturers of dairy products." I share this scene with you, albeit poorly, not only because it had me in stitches when I watched the film, but because there's an important nugget of truth for modern listeners to the word of Jesus Christ. I think many of us are in the habit, when we hear the words of Jesus read from Scripture, of treating them as if somebody was following Jesus around with an audio recorder all day and then transcribing perfect notes at the end for our Bible. Never mind the translation issues that Jesus spoke in Aramaic, the text is written in Greek and was translated into English for our benefit. And this sketch from Monty Python pokes fun at the idea of what if we're not getting the exact historical transcription of Jesus' words. I want to suggest this morning that it's kind of important that we let go of the idea that that's what we have here. And in today's case, we have Luke's version of a text we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes or the Blessings, which we find both in Luke and in the Gospel of Matthew, arguably much better known in what he calls the Sermon of the Mount. So I want to share with you a little bit of that text from Matthew, because we find in that text that Jesus, after commissioning the disciples to fish for people, right, familiar in our recent listening as well, Jesus performs incredible teaching, proclamation, and healing, and great crowds, similarly to today's text, both Gentile and Jew, begin to follow him. We read in Matthew, when Jesus saw these crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, and if you have your text from Luke in front of you, you might want to do some comparison. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, and so forth. When we look back at our text today from Luke, we see that clearly Luke and Matthew are sharing about the same episode, the same event in Jesus' teaching. There are clear parallels, right? And there's a lot of overlapping content. But there are some interesting differences that provide for us perspectives or windows into who Jesus was and what he taught that we would not have or see without multiple accounts of this story. Where Matthew's Jesus saw the crowds and ascended a mountain, what did Luke do? Luke's Jesus. It says Jesus came down when he saw the crowds and stood with them on a level place. This is the kind of difference that might make you say, so what? So Jesus stood in a different place. But symbolically, those two different stances are important to the gospel writers presenting them. Matthew makes repeated references in his gospel and account of Jesus that allude to Moses. And there's no exception here, sending Jesus to the mountaintop, right, where wisdom is brought to the people, wisdom of God. But Luke is all about the Jesus of the people. And it's incredibly important for Luke that when Jesus sees the crowds of suffering people, he comes down, quite literally in this case, to their level to meet with them where they are. Jesus in Luke is a man completely consumed by his concern for the poor, the sick, the neglected, and oppressed. Similarly, where Matthew's Jesus speaks of those who are poor in spirit and who hunger for righteousness, spiritual conditions of human life, Luke conveys Jesus' focus as being those who are straight up poor and hungry. And unlike Matthew, in addition to the blessings, Luke provides for us today Jesus' deliverance of the woes. Woe to you, right? The early faithful church leaders who compiled our biblical canon in the way that we have it didn't do so accidentally overlooking the discrepancies that I'm describing. They did so aware of and even for the sake of these multiple perspectives and presentations of Jesus. The allusions to Moses in Matthew's presentation are part of an important meaning-making frame for who Jesus is to the Jewish people. And Jesus' attention to those who are spiritually hungry, thirsty, and impoverished is also incredibly important. And having worked in mental health professions, I have preached on the importance of those beatitudes before. But our text today is from Luke. And so I want Matthew's version of the events to function as a foil this morning to help us see more clearly what it is about Jesus that Luke wants us to see today. So let this make an indelible impression on you. Jesus sees hordes of people full of disease and demon possession, undoubtedly also the poor, the hungry, the disenfranchised, and he moves to a level place to be with them, openly releasing power from his own self in an unregulated way for healing and curative purposes. Can you imagine that Jesus, right? Hordes of people that most of us would run away from. He moves straight into the group, and people touch him, and the power goes out from him to heal. And then it says he looks up at his disciples. And from that vantage point, he says, for the benefit of, but not directly to, his disciples, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Again, Jesus in Luke is not concerned with spiritualized problems, but incredibly concrete ones. Poverty, hunger, despair, those who are excluded and defamed. And the woe twos that follow are not isolated judgment. They are held together with the blessings, right? In the face of poverty, hunger, despair, and oppression, those of us who remain wealthy, well-fed, amused and entertained, and interested in our own social standing, stand in judgment. Is it not willful delusion, Jesus seems to imply, for you to be all of these things when I've just acknowledged all of these people who hunger and have nothing? There's no question that I fall into the latter category, right? I read this text, I'm like, woe to me. I'm in that latter category, not only as a proclaimed Christian, but quite embarrassingly as a Christian minister, right? And while I stand before you, the task of proclamation is to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ, to share with you the gospel of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In Luke's presentation of Jesus, that gospel is directly oriented toward those beloved children of God who are most egregiously harmed in today's world. I am complicit in the systems of harm that contribute to cycles of poverty and hunger and oppression. So you'll see how I lured you into a false sense of security with jokes at the beginning. But there's quite a lot of heavy content in this text. And I'm not trying to leave a heavy impression, because that's not the text. This is a beautiful text. At the risk of being incredibly redundant, it's a text of Jesus coming to level ground to be with people who think no one would ever run to meet them. It is about Jesus seeping power in unregulated ways, unconcerned that that power goes out to heal the lives of others, unconcerned that he loses anything by redistributing power. It's a text of heartbreaking tenderness and compassion and consolation for those who are most in need of those things. And perhaps even compassion and regret in his deliverance of the woe twos. Where Jesus says, woe to you here, it doesn't sound prescriptive. It doesn't sound like some heated desire he has to punish anyone. Rather, it sounds descriptive, simply descriptive of the reality. Isn't it true for those of us who are comparably wealthy, well-fed, entertained, and have social capital? Isn't it true that if we deny, minimize, or recuse ourselves from the realities of this former body of people who Jesus issued blessings to, that this bubble we've created for ourselves is our only prize? In any eternal sense, we cannot pretend that it is right or healthy or good or any true reward. I am grateful for all of our scripture. This morning, I am incredibly grateful for the forefathers who created a biblical canon that included both Matthew's and Luke's presentation of Jesus and his Beatitudes. His liberation lens is radical and profound and offers far more challenge to someone like me, good challenge, about what is called of me if I want to follow Christ, what I may have to examine about my own life that is unique to the circumstances I've inherited and perpetuated. But it also includes the most affirmation of the soul's worth for those whom worldly persons and societies have denied. People who are poor and hungry, defamed and hated, need this Jesus. in ways that some of us can't fully understand. Jesus here places them and or places you first, front, and center in his ministerial focus on earth. And if that is you today, I hope that you hear and feel that, that Jesus is here for you. Blessed are you. Amen.